Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wellbridge, Ohio. This weekend's homily was given by Father Eric Schild, pastor here at St. Jerome, on Sunday, October 21st, 2018, the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Here is Father Eric.
This past week, we hosted a group of missionaries, young people who are in college and maybe even a bit beyond, called the NET Team, National Evangelization Team. And what they do, and it's pretty remarkable, they travel, six guys and six girls, in a 15-passenger van all around the United States and do retreats for middle school and high school kids. And there's no home base. They're in a 15-passenger van, all 12 of them, and they have a small little trailer that's attached to the back of the van that has everything that they need. And it's pretty remarkable. They just go from parish to parish to parish, and they never know what they're going to get. And so they got here, and they had no idea what they were going to get for dinner, or if they were going to get dinner. They had no idea where they were going to stay. So the guys ended up staying in the youth room over there, and then the ladies stayed with two of our parishioners who were very gracious to host them. But they don't know these parishioners from Adam. Now, I happen to know that they were nice people, but they could have thought that they were axe murderers. We don't know, you know, what they're going to get. They had no idea if they were going to get a bed to sleep in. They didn't know if they were going to get a couch to sleep on. They didn't know if they were going to get a floor. They had no idea. And so that evening, I was talking to the gentlemen as they were staying over here, and I said, "Do you guys need anything?" You know, and the two of them who were under 21, they said, "We need a washing machine." And I said, "Well, that's good. Okay, we don't want you to be the stinky kids, you know." And then the two who were over 21 said, "We need a drink." And I said, "Well, I can imagine that." And so I said, "The good news is I have both." And so anyway, washed their clothes and all those different things. I was very struck by the fact that they had this disposition to take what they were given. To take what they were given and to make the best of it and to know that that's all that they truly needed to continue forward. And that Jesus was going to supplement the rest with his grace. And they just had that sense. And I think sometimes we go wrong, just like James and John did in the gospel today, because we have a sense of how things should go. You look at James and John, and they should really know better. They were apostles, but they didn't. They didn't. "Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we want you to do for us," is essentially what they said. You know, and you go, you have to imagine Jesus sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, I've spent so much time with you. I've taught you so much, and you are coming at me with a line like that. I want you to do whatever I want you to do." Sounds like kids, you know? I think of the kids over at the school. "Father, I want you to take away that detention." "No, you earned it. And so you are going to get it, and you're going to serve it, you know?" But again, that whole sense, "I want you to do, Lord, whatever I want you to do." Rather than saying, "Lord, whatever I am given, whatever difficulties I face, whatever tasks I face, whatever challenges I face, I trust that your grace is sufficient for me. And I am going to continue forward." But I think when we approach it with James and John's vision, you know, that whole sense that, "Lord, I want you to do what I want you to do," that sets us up for failure in so many ways. You know, again, if these missionaries came in here, you know, and they were expecting a steak dinner, they would have been highly disappointed with Vito's Pizza, you know, but whatever they were going to get, and that's what they got, Vito's Pizza, and they were happy with it. But again, how often do we go about life and we say, "This is how I want it to be, this is how it should be," then it doesn't happen, then we get discouraged and we get down on ourselves, we get down on Jesus, we get down on the church, we get down on whoever else we can blame. And I think today is a great opportunity to reflect upon how our Lord continues to bless us with his grace no matter what we are going through. And how this place, St. Jerome, continues to be a place of faith, a place of community, a place of discipleship that helps us to stay connected to our Lord, especially during those tough times. You know, again, I always, it's interesting when people kind of muse, boy, I don't know what I would do if I had to do this, whatever that is, without faith. I don't know how I would endure that loss of a loved one without faith. I don't know how I would endure that loss of a job without faith. I don't know how I would endure this illness without faith. I don't know how I would have gotten through this without faith. And that's what I'm always amazed at, again, is how here at St. Jerome and in other parishes throughout our world, again, we see how God works in profound ways and how he takes care of us and changes our lives each and every day because of the grace that he bestows upon us, because of the grace that's in this community, because of the sacraments that we receive, because of this parish community. And again, if we just take some time to reflect on how this parish has transformed us, again, we'd all have a story. You know, over this week, this upcoming week, it's our annual We Are Changing Lives program where we're talking about and reflecting upon how this parish has changed lives and continues to change lives. Because we come here in the moments of life where we get something that we don't necessarily anticipate, and yet we realize that our Lord walks with us through that, and how awesome that is. And so again, we reflect from a layperson's perspective. The past 2 years, maybe you've remembered, we've had lay people that reflect on that because you're always hearing me talk. But then we also, next weekend, we have our annual Commitment Sunday, where we reflect on, again, our sacrificial gifts, and we say, boy, where am I at with this? How am I doing with being thankful to God for what I've been given? And how has this parish impacted me? And again, I'm blessed daily to see how it impacts people, how it changes lives, how it takes care of people, how it has over the past 50-plus years, and how it continues to do that. But again, I think it's important to hear from a layperson, somebody who has experienced this place for a lot longer than I have, a lot longer. Somebody who has been doing this longer than I've been alive. Pat McCloskey, why don't you come on forward on that little note? Yeah, a lot longer than I've been alive. I mentioned a lot longer.
Yeah, you said that. I appreciate that. Well, good morning. How are we this morning? I'm just getting going, so, and I don't know how Father does this. He's so spry at this time of the morning. Well, I appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you this morning. While I was preparing for this, just to let you know, Father was wanting to make sure that I got the right things in it. I got my hands on a couple of examples of presentations that were done at other parishes. And the rule of thumb was kind of like you would have the length of your talk be for every year that you were a parish member, you'd have your talk be that number of minutes long. So the ones I saw were like 4 to 6 minutes. But as Father mentioned, I've been a parish parishioner for 55 years, so this could be a while. So, why are we here? And I don't mean the meaning of life, why are we here? How do we find ourselves in St. Jerome's on this chilly morning in October in Wallbridge, Ohio? It just, we've got so many other places we could be, so many other things we could do. Well, why are we here? Well, for me, it's like I've always been here. So many of you know, I grew up just across the street, little ranch house over there, full of kids. It's about 125 paces from the front of that door to that driveway, depending on how tall you are. They got shorter as I got older, of course. But I recall when I was very young, standing on our couch, bouncing up and down to see out of the picture window as they started to lay the foundation for the church, cinder block upon cinder block, transforming a farm field into this new parish. Now, as the cinder blocks got higher, of course, they also formed the walls of the parish. So the early church, of course, wasn't very pretty. It wasn't much to look at. But as we all know, it provided a home for our congregation for so many years. And I will tell you that my parents, God rest their souls, were very proud to be among the founding members of St. Jerome's. Now, within a short while, the little church expanded to have a wonderful grade school. And in fact, my brother Michael, was in the Toledo Blade because he was one of the first ones to cross the threshold of the new school and was among the first graduating class as well. All eight of us McCloskey kids found our way across the parking lot into the halls of the school over that time period. Living close, it had its advantages, of course, getting to school and getting to church, but as an older boy during the summer months, it had its disadvantages as well, because the priest wouldn't hesitate to call you for things like special services, funerals, weddings. Well, the weddings were okay because you got paid for the weddings. But then again, summer masses, when you're on vacation, it's a little harder because when you're younger, summer mass started at 7:15, and, you know, your young body got going around 8:30 in the morning, so it was tough, right? But the church and school formed a very strong partnership for me during my formative years. Now, much of the interest in church ministries, like lecturing, like Eucharistic ministry, started during that time period so long ago. And so long ago means it's okay to say when I'm lecturing, say, my God, has this guy been doing this forever? I said, yeah, just about, because I started when I was in eighth grade. Now, my bond with St. Jerome's only became stronger after I met my best friend and the love of my life, Lisa, who was here at 4:30. Thank goodness she's not here this morning, right? Because she joined the Catholic faith, and that was one of the greatest joys of my life. I'd like to think she did it for me, but, that's not true, because she actually did it for my mom. So, we also had many fond memories of the spiritual community and service that were formed during our parish festivals. A lot of us here participated in that, put a lot of blood and sweat into those. You know, I can still recall on those hot, steamy nights, the booming voice of my father over that loudspeaker system at the festival. And if you knew Jerry, you knew he didn't need a loudspeaker. But it echoed across the village as a calling for people to come in and join the fellowship. You know, I learned from my dad that it never rained in Walbridge on festival weekend, because all those water droplets that were hitting you in the face were just heavy dew, right? Now, although the festivals could be a very trying time, and we talked about that, they provided so much good for the St. Jerome's community as well as the community of Walbridge. And those summer nights became a highlight for many of those, especially those of us that had the opportunity to be bathed in smoke and grease cooking Leo's barbecue chicken for sale, or immersed in the lunacy at the Big Six. So many of you remember that when that was going on. Now, the parish is growing, and as such, it also grew the school. Programs came in, and we put up a new community center. With the community center, the athletic programs that really didn't have a home up until that time had a new home to practice and play. And the school holiday pageants, which many of us who had children here, found a new stage on which to be performed. You know, one of my most precious moments in that building, the community center, was having the ability to coach my son and daughter in basketball, and of course all their friends. Now, funny thing about St. Jerome's, and although we were small, both in numbers and many time in stature, because we didn't have some of the biggest players, we did pose a challenge to the rest of the teams in the diocese. It was amazing watching those kids grow up. They were so wonderful and respectful. They were well-behaved when you compared them with others, and they represented the St. Jerome's church and school so proudly. And to this day, I thank all of you parents who made that possible. Now, throughout the years, I had a great deal of pleasure also participating on the various church and school committees, along with all of you other dedicated and caring individuals here at St. Jerome's. Had a lot of challenges, didn't always see eye to eye, but we did align around one thing, and it was always to strive what was best for the church and its spiritual communities. But as we all know, sometimes even the good things must come to an end, and change happens. Some changes are for the good. Some, as we know, can be very painful. You know, I was on the committee when we had the discussions about the continuing operations of the school. The school had become so much the St. Jerome's experience that when it did close, it would become a loss, almost like the loss of a close friend. And even the time of church festivals had come and gone. Too many other attractions and distractions have taken its place. Too many of the founding members now, those who held the vision for St. Jerome since its infancy, were also gone. So, what was St. Jerome's to do? Well, what we did was we renewed ourselves. You know, the church got a facelift. Now, only a building, that's true. But it represented a new beginning for the people of St. Jerome's. A vision for the future of what was truly possible for us. Yes, the festivals were gone, but the resources and energy that they had went now and were trained on the spiritual growth and development of our membership. If you need proof, just go to the wall right now and pick up one of the weekly bulletins. Its pages, if you look, are full of new and growing ministries, opportunities to share your Catholic experience. You know, programs for both the young and people like us, the seasoned. Notice I didn't say old. You know, opportunities for personal inflection like Bible studies, as well as social events and gatherings of celebration, all can be found stuffed into the bulletin each week. If you look to the north, you see new construction, the new beginnings of a spiritual partnership with a new population of parishioners. If you look to the south, further evidence of our growing desire to strengthen our worship in prayers for the Holy Mother. We hear each week of welcoming of the newly baptized and those making a commitment to join our faith. And then look around you just this morning and see the faces of new friends filling the halls of St. Jerome with vitality and renewed hope. So why am I here? Well, I think it's pretty obvious, because St. Jerome's is my home. As much as the place where I was raised, this little church with a tiny school helped to fashion me, care for me, nurture me spiritually. And while so many things have changed, so many things have come and gone, one thing has remained for me: my ability to come here, gain a peace of mind, community and caring, and spiritual direction and enlightenment that gives my meager life purpose and a better comprehension of God's greatness, kindness, and forgiveness. May He truly bless you on this glorious day, and thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Pat. Again, I really appreciate him sharing his story with all of us. And you know, his story over 55 years, there's also people who have a story over the past 5 months or 5 days that have been parishioners or are visiting here. Whatever the case might be, St. Jerome continues to impact lives, change lives, touch lives each and every day, which is really awesome. The reality is we still have a ways to go until everyone is a disciple and is following our Lord. We still have ministries to do. We still have things to accomplish. And so as we gather and reflect each and every year on this, on stewardship, again, it's just an opportunity for us to reflect. And so I'll talk more about that at the end of the Mass. But again, a special thanks to Pat for sharing his story over these past 55 years.
Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. This weekend's homily was given by Father Eric Schild, pastor here at St. Jerome. Make sure to tune in each week as Father Eric unpacks the scripture from the weekend and shares real-life stories that will help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.